You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Imagine leaving your husband and children to suffer the unthinkable, to believe mommy has been kidnapped, possibly even dead, and to let that suffering go on for weeks? Well, that is exactly what kidnap fraudster Sherry Papini did when she pretended to have been kidnapped while taking a jog, leaving her entire family, including children, husband, extended relatives, to suffer, only to find out she was holed up at her boyfriend's house the whole time, then coming up with a big lie, blaming two Hispanic women for the kidnap, even starving herself, losing tens and tens of pounds, bruises she put on her face and body, even, believe it or not, branding herself. Yes, she branded her own skin as if the, quote, kidnappers did it. Oh, I mean, it goes on and on. But that said, now she's back in court again, demanding $30,000. You heard me right. Kidnap fraudster Sherry Papini in court, poor-mouthing, demanding $30,000. You know what? She owes everybody $30,000 for the pain and suffering she put everybody through, much less the fact that she took away time from real crime victims for her self-centered, let me just say, lark. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Why is Sherry Papini in court whining she wants $30,000? Because she's in a custody battle against her ex-husband. Gee, who should have custody? The loving father that supported the family or the mom that freaked everybody out pretending she had been kidnapped? She's in court actually demanding he pay her $30,000 in legal fees. And the whole time, she's living in a luxurious four-bedroom home owned by her new boyfriend. Wow. Does he not have the internet? Whatever. She claims she only makes $1,000 a month from a job and living with the boyfriend. You heard me right. California's Sherry Papini faked her own kidnap, and it was kind of a Gone Girl style plot. And now she's chasing down the husband she hoodwinked, for lack of a better term. She faked out for $30,000 to cover legal fees and for the cost of a custody fight she started. Now, keep in mind, all this is while she's living a luxury lifestyle, the entire thing bankrolled by her big bucks new lover. Now, Papini was jailed back in 2022 over the plot she cooked up, where she vanished, and I'm saying that with big air quotes, for 3 weeks. Then she lied to police and to her husband about the fake kidnapping. Okay, instead the whole time she was shacked up with an ex-boyfriend. Now she's living in a nearly $1 million mansion paid for by her boyfriend. Who is he? He is a widowed car dealer from Orland, California. And P.S., she's driving a brand new Jeep SUV. Wonder where that came from. Let's just say she doesn't have any car payments. But let me take you back to the time of the kidnap. Well, I can't even see kidnap. Of the fakery. What happened? Let me just jog your memory, because guess what we have today for your viewing and listening pleasure? Videotapes of Papini sticking to her lies. She is in interrogation after interrogation after interrogation. I just can't stop looking at the lies this woman just comes from her mouth. And she fully expects everybody to believe her. But this is where it all started. Take a listen to our friends, KRCR.
Keith Papini came home last Wednesday and his wife, Sherry Papini, was nowhere to be found.
In normal days, I would open the door and my family comes and runs and gives me a hug.
But there were no welcoming hugs. So he searched in the house and their property, but learned the children were still at daycare. He found Sherry's phone down the street.
That's when I knew she had been, in my opinion, taken or abducted.
Now, days later, family, friends, the community, and law enforcement are still looking for Sherry.
It's the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing ever.
Time going by slowly, and their children don't know their mother is missing.
It's hard waiting. You know, you're waiting for a phone call. You're waiting for something to tell us, you know, this is the direction, or this is the house, or this is the car. And that is very difficult right now.
But Keith is determined to find her.
If she was listening, I wanted to say that we're trying the best we can, and I'm so sorry that I'm not there.
The family believes she was abducted and has this message.
Bring her home. Bring her home. Just bring her home.
Okay, I almost made a smart aleck crack about waiting for what? Your lying wife to call him and say, oh, honey, I effed up. But then I heard his voice crack, and it reminded me of all the suffering that he and his children and all of Papini's family went through during her hoax. Hey, I'm going to introduce the whole panel, but let me go first to Joseph Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, and author of Blood Beneath My Feet. He's the star of a brand new hit series called Body Bags with Joseph Scott Morgan on iHeart and elsewhere. It's great. Joe Scott, I remember at the beginning, the very beginning, when Papini went missing, you and I talked. And I said, you know something that's really bothering me about this whole thing, about the kidnap thing, is that her phone was placed carefully on the ground. It was placed somewhere where it would be found. It wasn't just thrown into the brush. And not only that, the earbuds were attached with a wire, and they were wrapped very neatly around the phone and then placed there. I'm like, you know what? That one detail, that doesn't fit. And I'm telling you, one detail can break a case, Joe Scott.
Can. And a neat little feature that was involved with this were a few strands of her hair that were caught up in that. And I look at this now retrospectively, and I wonder, you know what?
Dang.
I wonder if this was planned as well. You rip some hair out of there.
You have to pull your own hair out.
Yeah, you're pulling your own hair out, and you're going to wad it up in there too, neatly place it by the side of the road, because they use that Where's My iPhone app thing.
I didn't even think of that, Jack. Pulling her hair out, in addition to branding herself and breaking her own nose. Okay, yep. I'd love to gab with you, but let's move forward. Take a listen to Allison Sutton. This is the woman that sees Papini by the side of the road.
I saw her very, very quickly. Her face looked, I thought her face was dirty, but based on what I know now, I'm guessing that what I thought was dirt on her face was the bruises, restraints. It was so dark. I barely saw her. And like I said, it was a flash because that area is so dark.
4:30 in the morning, Papini is out wandering the streets covered in bruises and still in restraints. So just add that to the list. She's restrained herself. Now, it keeps going. Listen to our friends at GMA.
Papini seemingly disappeared in November of 2016, reappearing 3 weeks later, badly injured, claiming she was abducted by two Hispanic women and physically and emotionally tortured, beaten, and drugged. Her husband, Keith, speaking exclusively to ABC News just days after they were reunited at the hospital.
One of the officers kind of like braced me and kind of put his arm around me, and he said, you know, prepare yourself. She's alive, and you just got to be happy. They branded her. And her poor face got like nauseated just looking at her. It was so hard for me to see her like that. And bruises were just intense. The bumps from, you know, being hit and kicked and whatever else.
You know, to Dr. Angela Arnold, we're making light of it because we know Sherry Papini's a big liar, and she cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to law enforcement. But did you hear the husband? And what about the children? They're going to remember the rest of their lives when mommy went missing, and she faked the whole thing.
Well, and I think...
How can you do that to your children?
Well, and I think the sad thing, too, is, Nancy, what are they ever going to believe? What are they ever going to be able to believe in their lives again. She has left them all with this hole inside of them that they're not going to be able to believe. She has cried wolf. They're not going to be able to believe if someone is telling the truth.
Hey, Dr. Angie, you've got to hear her words from the horse's mouth. Dr. Angela Arnold with me, renowned psychiatrist out of Atlanta at AngelaArnoldMD.com. Guys, take a listen to Sherry Papini, so-called supermom, describing the chain the two Hispanic women. Remember, guys, they didn't exist. She nearly got women arrested. They kind of fit her fake composite. The imaginary Hispanic women placed imaginary chains around her waist, and she says this with a straight face. Listen, these are our friends at ABC.
There was a chain around my waist.
Okay. Do you know what you were affixed to? Was it like a tether? Was it like a rope?
A metal cable.
What about the bathroom? What's that look like?
It just was a standard, there was a crack in the tile. It was a light colored tile that was speckled. There was a crack in the tile.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Sherry Papini just cannot stay out of the headlines, and not in a good way. Despite her extremely silver spoon privileged lifestyle, she has now gone into court and pled poverty and trying to force her ex-husband, you know, the one she faked out, the one who was crying and upset on TV, begging for her return, that guy, to cough up $30,000 to pay for her share of a legal fight for custody, a fight that she started. Now remember, Papini convicted back in 2022 for faking the whole thing. What more does her husband have to endure? Now, the husband, Keith Papini, is vehemently opposed to giving Sherry Papini, his ex, any more access to their children. He wants her to see a shrink. Do you blame him? And undergo a psychological evaluation and be barred from seeing the children unsupervised. Now, I gotta tell you, this is conjuring up images of Josh Powell, okay? Josh Powell. I don't know if that's ringing a bell to you. Josh Powell, I'm convinced, murdered his wife. He murdered the mother of his two little boys. His wife, Susan Powell, a wonderful lady. She went missing in the middle of the night with some bogus story by Josh Powell that they went camping in sub-zero temperatures with their little boys in tow. Okay, that didn't happen. She's dead. And when forensic specialists asked the little boys what happened, they drew pictures of mommy in the car trunk. And then they said, mommy's in the crystal mines. In other words, their dad killed her and dumped her body. That's what that means. Anyway, back to Papini. In the Josh Powell case, he was supposed to have supervised visitation with the boys. What happened? The ding-dong defects worker takes the boys to his front door. He snatches them inside. Then he kills them both with an axe and blows up the house. Thanks, defects. You scored again. In this case here with Sherry Papini, she needs a psychological evaluation to make sure that she can take care of those children, and she should never, never see them unsupervised. After what she did, she tricked the whole country. Cops, all sorts of law enforcement, her family, her husband, all for attention. Oh, H-E-L-L-N-O. She is not having unsupervised visitation. But let me jog your memory again about what happened when Sherry Papini, quote, went missing, end quote. Wendy, thanks for making time to be with us. You know, I always look for stories if I'm deciding about credibility of a witness, and I have directed and cross-examined over 10,000 witnesses in one way or another, whether it's a motion to suppress, whether it's some other sort of preliminary motion, whether it's a witness at trial. It goes on and on and on. You know, they really rack up, Wendy, when you're trying cases. But long story short, I look for richness in detail. Like if Jackie were to tell me, I'm going to be late to the studio today. I'm like, why? Long pause. Car problems. What kind of problem? Flat. Where are you? Big long pause. I'm like, wait, weren't you taking an Uber this week? Bigger pause. So if you question and you're looking for detail, it's not that hard to crack a story. And this woman is full of details right down to the crack in the tile.
And you know, Nancy, that really was what broke the story for investigators, is there was so much detail. There was an overabundance of dramatic detail that actually ended up being suspicious. It wasn't an issue of pausing. It was almost an issue of having pre-created this hoax, this story that was just a little too fantastic. And as you mentioned, investigators know not only what to look for, what to ask about, but then how to compare the way a story mm-hmm. changes. And all of those details made her recitation suspicious right from the beginning.
And I never have a problem with a witness adding to the story, because under the correct questioning, they may say, well, yeah, she gave me a Diet Coke, or she this, or she that. Under the right questioning, but to actually change the story is a whole nother can of worms, and you hit the nail on the head when you said drama. Let's hear more from Sherry Papini. But what about this rope, this chain, and what about the so-called boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend she somehow convinced to join her in her crazy scheme? Take a listen to our buddy Matt Gutman.
And over the next 6 years, investigators would piece together how Papini had lied about everything, from her fictional abduction to injuries which were largely self-inflicted. DNA from her clothing eventually leading them to her ex-boyfriend, James Reyes.
I didn't kidnap her, you know, I just... friend in need asked me for help.
And that was that.
What did she say?
She was trying to get away from her husband. Like, your husband beat you, your husband raped you. I don't know what her deal was.
Is it okay if I go look in that room, the closet? I'm curious if it's the same as she described it.
Ding, 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 ding. This apartment, this closet, and this bathroom look just like the place that Sherry says she was held captive.
Wow. Where the two Hispanic women held her captive and starved her and beat her looks just like the inside of her ex-boyfriend's apartment where she hid out. Take a listen to more.
Authorities say Papini's allegations of abuse against her husband were unfounded and that James Reyes had no knowledge of her plan. And with Reyes's cooperation, investigators now believed they had solid proof Sheriff Papini's kidnapping was a hoax.
The DNA that was on you belongs to James Reyes.
We talked to him. We've been on a polygraph. We talked to everybody around him. We have the rental agreements, phone rental, the car rental agreements. The reason why you lost so much weight is because you stopped eating. The reason why the brand is because he went to the store, bought the branding tools, and branded you. The reason why your nose was broke is because of a hockey stick.
Whoa, so she branded herself and broke her own nose. With me, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter Dave Mack. Dave, where do you get a brand? I mean, I've been in plenty of hardware stores, but a brand?
Actually, Nancy, it was a wood-burning kit. Remember the little kits we buy for our children where they can make their own little designs with the little heating element and little
yes, kind of.
That's what they used. And actually, they picked out, it was a wood-burning kit. And in that kit, it has certain symbols. And in this particular case, letters and numbers. And that's what they used.
Look, I know she's caused a lot of pain, but a kid's wood-burning kit, Jack, did you hear that?
I did.
Do we know what symbols she used? It was always kind of held tight to the vest.
There was a photo. Let me wrap
okay, you pull it up. Guys, I want to skip forward to our cut 65. I've got to hear more of Sherry Papini. And you let me know when you find out what the brand was. Anybody that finds out what it is, jump in. And remember, guests, this is not tea at Highgrove. Okay? Jump in.
The Bible verse was Exodus 21:16.
Exodus 21:16. I'm no Bible scholar. What's Exodus 21:16? What does that mean?
It's actually It's actually about kidnapping.
The, dragged the Bible into it.
Yes. And it's the Exodus 21:16 is anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession.
Okay. Thank you for that tidbit. Let's go forward with Sherry Papini under interrogation by Shasta County Sheriff's Detectives. This is our Cut 65.
She's the reason? What do you mean by that?
She means the younger one let her go.
Right?
Is that what you're referring to?
We're not going to find her. And we can just skip to, we can skip to the rock into the water and ruffle up the pond if we want to now. Again, this is your last opportunity. This is the last time if you want to do this alone or with Keith. Keith's been through this also on a different level. I'm ready to move on and throw the dart and throw the rock and see what happens to the water. But Sherry, look at me. What do you want?
I don't want her to get in trouble.
She's not going to get in trouble. So the DNA came back to James Ray.
Okay, so she's sticking to her story. DNA is found connected to Sherry Papini that, no doubt about it, is her ex-boyfriend's James Reyes. But she is sticking to her story. What is she saying? Dave Mack, she's saying, I don't want her to get in trouble. And she says it so calmly. Is she still, she's going down with the ship about the two Hispanic women?
Absolutely. And what she had told them previously was that the younger of the two Hispanic women held a gun and told her to leave, and saying that it was the younger of the two kidnappers that actually let her go. And as she says, you know, giving me the chance to see my children.
Now, think about it. Sherry Papini is living in a million-dollar home. But now, not only is she demanding $30,000, she's asking, well, demanding, the ex-husband hand over an array of items from their marital home. For instance, Grandpa's truck, an inflatable water slide. Go buy one at Target, woman. A leaf blower and a smart TV. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, she gave up rights to any marital property when she pulled her stunt. An expense declaration we managed to get our mitts on shows Papini claims to have an income of $1,000 a month. You know what? Get a second job, woman. She had been awarded $10,000 in her divorce in order to pay half a $3,000 debt she racked up on a Best Buy credit card. She did that after she was arrested April 2022. Who is her landlord? Her new boyfriend. That is her landlord, a widowed car dealer. Man, this girl, she jumps from one pot of honey into the next. The four-bedroom home where she's living has a rental value of over $3,000 a month. Now, that's according to Zillow. That's over six times what she claims to pay to her, quote, landlord. Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, you have to take this all with a box of salt and with the backdrop of what she did to her husband and children. Let's hear some more Sherry Papini. Okay, it's just like the SNL quote, more cowbell. I got to have more Sherry Papini. Take a listen.
The reason why you can describe the room is because you stayed in the room in the dark for hours, for days on end. The reason why you lost so much weight is because you stopped eating. The reason why you got a rash on your arm was because you cleaned his house. The reason why the brand is because he went to the store, bought the branding tools, and branded you. The reason why your nose was broke is because of a hockey stick. I know all of those things, and I know there was no sex. I know all of that because he passed a polygraph test. That said, it's not an abduction. She asked me to come get her.
No.
I rented a car.
No.
I drove up and picked her up. He passed the polygraph test. Sure.
Okay, it goes on and on and on, talking about drama. So in what kind of a mindset would she be, Dr. Angie Arnold, to literally starve herself? I recall she lost, I think, 40 pounds. I can't remember how much weight she lost. To break your own nose with a hockey stick And to Jackie has very kindly, thank you, Jackie, for sending, this is something I can't get out of my head, where she literally burned letters into her skin.
Well, Nancy, she was telling a lie, and she has gotten so caught up in this lie, and I imagine it became harder and harder and harder, and she felt like she needed to do more things for people to believe this lie. And you know what, Nancy? We don't know. Maybe she got into it, too. I mean, there are people who self-harm. How do we know she's not a self-harming person?
Okay, there's self-harm.
Yes.
For reasons that you, as a shrink, understand. And then there is self-harm to further your big fat lie. We have
right.
no evidence she suffered from self-harming before she had to convince her husband and law enforcement that she truly had been kidnapped by two women. And she says it with a straight face. Take a listen to our Cut 67. She is absolutely not giving up with this, even when confronted with polygraphs and DNA. Listen.
That's not what happened, what didn't happen, Sharon.
I don't know. No, there's no way it's James. There's no way. There's no way.
The DNA doesn't lie.
His DNA is...
His DNA was on you. His
there's
brother,
no way.
Robert saw you in the house while you were down there. While everything
it's
spun
Robert.
Out of control, his cousin... Why everything ran out of control on the initial.
There's no way.
It's 100% Robert's or James's DNA.
We even collected blonde hairs from the room.
There's no way it's James. There's no way.
I like that it is.
Why are you saying it's not James?
Guys, I'm not a shrink. I'm just a JD. Okay, Joe Scott Morgan, do you hear this woman just screaming? There's no way. It's not James. James is the ex-boyfriend. And they're like, Miss Papini, we have his DNA.
Yeah.
We have your hair in his home. And she's like, who's Robert? And they're like, the guy that kept coming into the apartment while you were there and you talked to him. That's James's cousin. And she will not give up.
Yeah, she's staring straight down the barrel of mathematical probability at this moment, Nancy. Everybody, you see all those memes that float around and say math is hard. Well, this is the reality of why you need to understand statistical analysis. The odds that her hair would be there and that her boyfriend's DNA would be on her are absolutely astronomical. And she understands enough to know that she's staring down this from an evidentiary standpoint. But Nancy, I'll shut up after this. I got to tell you, I see a lot of parallels between this person and that scumbag in South Carolina, Susan Smith, all those years ago, and what she perpetrated. Remember, she called out African-Americans in that particular case and said that they had kidnapped those babies and they had disappeared. She's pleading, asking. And she gets wrapped up in this over and over again. And, you know, to go to Dr. Angie's point, she keeps playing along with it. And deeper the math reveals and numbers reveal. She was there. She knows what happened.
Okay, Joe Scott, did I ever tell you that I was in the middle of trying a case solo? And, of course, I got into trouble in court like I always did with the judge. And I called the guy that we were running the court together. I called him Herman Sloan and asked him to come to court. I said, bring the law, quick. I need help. I'm going to get evidence ruled out. So he races to court to help me. And successfully, I might add, he's a brainiac. And I looked at him. I went, Herman, oh, my stars. You look exactly like the composite Susan Smith gave the guy that took her children.
Yeah, all it takes is to plant
anyway,
that little seed.
I've got an alibi because I think somebody had already told him that. Exactly like Herman Sloan, who, by the way, went on to become a judge. Not connected to Susan Smith. So, yes, I mean, you know, another one that went down with the story is Jodi Arias. Jodi Arias stuck to her story until she was absolutely cornered. Then she came up with another lie. First, I wasn't there. Then, okay, I was there, but were two guys dressed as ninjas and all black, and they killed him, and I got away. Then it turned into self-defense. Yes, I did it, but it was self-defense. Remember that, Joe Scott Morgan?
Yeah, I sure do. And this idea that, you know, and look, again, not a shrink, that's Dr. Angie's realm, but it's almost like this delusional thing they wrap themselves in, but it's not a delusion. They're playing a part at this moment in time. This woman was playing a part, you know, running off to the boyfriend's apartment like this and dragging him down this road with her. It baffles the mind.
I mean, apparently she tells the boyfriend, my husband beats me, my husband rapes me, when in reality, the husband practically worshipped her.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
In the court filings, she herself describes she lives in a, quote, beautiful new home in Shingleton, California, where she says the children will each be allowed to have their own room and that she will redecorate them to the children's liking. If she has that kind of money, she doesn't need his money. She also claims to have a normal routine and stable job, a, quote, consultant position. What does that mean? She says she has it with a small LA-based literary agency called Lady Moon Entertainment. Okay, what is Lady Moon Entertainment? And do they not have Google? Okay, back to Sherry Papini's stunt that broke the hearts of her family. Let's circle back to Cut 64. Sherry Papini, now listen, this is what she's talking about. She, quote, I don't want you to find the person who helped me escape. You know, the one that held a gun to my head. Listen.
We're not to a point where anybody's going to jail yet. We're not to a point of anything like that. We're just still at the talking stage. We're at the control stage.
You seem scared, Sherry.
No, it's not scared.
What is it? When you don't answer, Sherry, it makes me concerned because I want to hear what your answers are and I want to be able to understand.
The only way to control things is for us to know.
I don't want you to find her.
We're not going to find her.
She's the reason why I get to see my children every day.
I agree, but we're not going to find her.
Okay, several things. She goes, they say, Sherry, you seem scared. And then she says, I don't. And then, remember, she's hysterical. And then suddenly she's very calm and says, I don't want you to find her. She's playing them like a fiddle, a Stradivarius fiddle. Let me add that in. And then she drags her children into it. The reason I don't want you to find her, the woman that stood by while I was branded and beaten and my nose broken, I was starved. I don't want her to go to jail because she's the reason I get to see my children every day. Hey, let's hear 64 one more time. Listen to the tonal quality and the dichotomy in her first answers versus suddenly she gets calm and answers.
We're not to a point where anybody's going to jail yet. We're not to a point of anything like that. We're just still at the talking stage. We're at the control stage.
You seem scared, Sherry.
No, it's not scared.
What is it? When you don't answer, Sherry, it makes me concerned because I want to hear what your answers are and I want to be able to understand.
The only way to control things is for us to know.
I don't want you to find her.
We're not going to find her.
She's the reason why I get to see my children every day.
I agree, but we're not going to find her.
Yeah, we're not going to find her because she's not real. Joining me right now, a private investigator, renowned throughout her area, Mona K Investigations, joining us out of Omaha. You can find her on Twitter at Mona K. Mona Kay, how many times have you questioned someone and you just keep asking them questions because you know they're lying? Did you see the tonal quality of her answer shift? At first, she's saying, I'm not scared. And then immediately, sucking up a lot of snot and tears. Then she goes very calmly, I don't want you to find her. About 20 seconds later.
But yeah, she, you know, her body language tells us a lot. Her voice inflections tell us a lot. And another.
Wait, tell me, what do you mean by
you
that?
Know, the way she's so calm and collected at some point. She's hysterical at other points. She doesn't look the police officers the detectives in the eye. Another thing, getting back a little bit to the information she's giving, she thinks that she's in control. And she gives so much detail that you'd think that they would be able to, you know, crack the case, follow up, have leads to go on. I've worked so many cases over the years, over 30 some years. I've never received this much detail from any witness. But yet the little bit of information I have gotten has led somewhere in most cases. But she gives, you know, volumes of very detailed information, and it goes nowhere. You know, they don't.
Yeah, you're right. And what's amazing is they tell her straight up, we've got DNA. We have your boyfriend. We've got your boyfriend's cousin who will state, they're all stating you were there and you lied to them. And she still is not giving it up. Okay, guys, listen to this. Now we see a little crack. Take a listen to our cut 68.
At the end of everything, once you had to have known that this was going to come at some point.
I wasn't talking to my mom.
What's that?
All my fault. I was talking to so many guys.
Well, we know.
Such a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, but then how did we get to Costa Rica? Or sorry, Costa Mesa? How did we get to LA? There's a big jump and a leap from talking to men to getting in a car with somebody. But that getting in a car with somebody is somebody you had a relationship with. He told us about the abortion.
Wait a minute. Abortion? What abortion? Dave Mack, how did I miss abortion? What abortion?
They don't go into detail on it, Nancy, but what they were trying to do is to push her to letting her know they've talked to this guy. They've already gone over what he's told them, and they're telling her that we know that you guys were so close that he knows you had an abortion. That's what they were trying to set up, that you're acting like this is two women and that James Reyes is just kind of out here in the periphery, but we know who he is to you, and we're telling you right off, you guys are so close that he knows about your abortion.
Okay, now I get it. Now, remember, she's saying, it's my fault because I talked to guys. What is that supposed to mean? I talked to guys. I talk to guys every single day of the week. My husband talks to women every single day of the week. How is that supposed to get you in trouble? But here we hear more of that. She's still sticking to her lie. Don't get me wrong. Our cut 69.
My fault that I was talking to him. It's my fault that I was flirting with other men. It was such a stupid thing to do. I love my husband. I love my children.
That's understandable.
It's just stupid.
Here's the deal, though, Sherry. Flirting with other men, not a crime. Lying to me today, yes, a crime. Big difference.
Telling your story of what happened to you isn't a crime.
And I know you're scared of what Keith is going to say and do, what's going to happen with you and your family. Those are real concerns. But we also need to understand the truth.
What about her body language were you noticing, Mona Kay?
Well, you know, she looks down a lot. She's kind of curled up. She's not confident in what she's saying. She's giving so many different detailed and so many stories that she can't keep some of her stories straight, so they're conflicting, and you know that's a dead giveaway. And when she can't remember something, she said she sleeps a lot. I mean, she said she slept when they picked her up. She couldn't give some details about the direction the car may have gone because she was sleeping, yet she was just supposedly abducted.
Another thing, this is Wendy Patrick. Another part of her body language, which I found striking, was she was closed. You know, you talk about open and closed and who's approachable, and she couldn't be more defensive and closed. It was almost like the way she curled herself into a ball and her legs were crossed. There was everything about her body language that just transmitted, I'm stuck, I'm cornered. She was like an animal in the corner of a cage. And that is one of the huge tells that really was leading these detectives to agree that, you know, they had all the evidence they needed. This was a staging act. This was not something, any part of it that was credible.
Right. I agree. I thought her body language said a lot.
What about the husband? Keith Papini, who has stood by her from the get-go. Take a listen to our cut 70.
I'm the idiot husband that stayed around the whole time.
Well, there's not.
I feel like my whole world's gonna flip upside down again. Why is that? Why am I always getting held out of things? Like, why can't you just hit me with it?
I did. I told you.
I know. Yeah.
Because this happened Monday.
No, you're saying you can't tell me all this stuff.
It's still an ongoing investigation, so you're not gonna find out answers. I mean, that's the way it is.
Can you help me and throw me a bone and then go, you made it up, is that where we're going, right? Or is she trying to come up with a whole another?
We're not going to give you any additional details. Obviously, you've heard the questions, so you can read through some of those and understand. You've seen some of the photos, so you know some of the investigative work.
Obviously, you saw me, I was like, yeah, we found him.
And we did.
Yeah.
But you can also notice your reaction compared to her reaction.
He filed for divorce as things sit now. He did walk away. As you heard him right there, this cut and dry. He walked into that last interview, Nancy, as the doting husband who believed everything she said. And we're talking an hour and a half later, he is gobsmacked. You know, he didn't know this was going to happen. And boom, that's why he says, you know, my whole world has flipped upside down again. And then he says, you know, you just heard, he said, well, can you help me throw me a bone? You know, she made it up. Is that where we're going? Is she trying to come up with a whole nother story now? I mean, this guy was rocked to his core.
You know, I was just looking through these documents. Papini writes, my whole life has been planned around my children, and I will continue to adjust to their needs for the rest of my life. Really? I'm sorry. I just can't get past your big fake kidnapping where you made them suffer. I remember being on the hunt to find Sherry Papini. And I'm telling you, this ex-husband, this dad, has been through enough. Hey, lady, you know what you can do with your leaf blower? Okay, I won't finish that thought. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.